So our sermon today is based on a reading from Mark chapter 4, verses 13 to 20.
And he, Jesus, said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? Then how will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the seed. These are the ones on the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground. When they hear the word, they immediately receive it with joy. But they have no root and endure only for a while. Then, when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are those sown among the thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, but the cares of the age and the lure of wealth and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, and it yields nothing. And these are the ones sown on the good soil. They hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Thank you, God, for giving us the task of sowing the seed of your word far and wide. So we've been looking at gardens and gardening as we spend this year sowing and growing. We've already established that we need dirt to get a garden started. And what do you need next? Indeed, we concede that we need seed. Did you know that there is a place in Norway called the Svalbard Global Seed Vault? That's the picture on the bulletin cover. The Global Seed Vault is a secure backup facility for the world's crop diversity. It's located inside a mountain on Spitsbergen Island in a remote archipelago in the Arctic Ocean. This is where duplicates of all kinds of seeds from all around the world are stored in case of disease or nuclear catastrophe. It started in 1984 when the Nordic Gene Bank began storing frozen seeds in an abandoned coal mine. The seeds are put in sealed 3-ply foil packages and then placed into tote containers on metal shelving racks inside the vault. The storage rooms are kept at below 0.4 degrees Fahrenheit, which helps delay seed aging. The seed vault has a storage capacity of 4.5 million seeds, and as of June 2025, the seed vault conserves 1,355,591 accessions, representing more than 13 years of agricultural history. Spitsbergen was considered to be the ideal site for the seed vault because it lacks tectonic activity and has permafrost, which is soil or underwater sediment that continuously remains below 0 degrees Celsius or 32 degrees Fahrenheit for 2 years or longer, which helps preserve the seeds. The seed vault could preserve most major food crop seeds for hundreds of years. Some could potentially remain viable for thousands of years. The seed bank also safeguards samples that could be lost due to mismanagement, accident, equipment failures, funding cuts, and natural disasters. For example, the gene bank of the Philippines was damaged by flooding and later destroyed by a fire, while the gene banks of Afghanistan and Iraq have been lost completely due to their ongoing wars. It's important to have this backup facility. It's like a safe deposit box for seeds. Only the owner has access. The Syrian civil war has prompted the first withdrawal of seeds from the vault in September 2015. Now, all that is probably as much information as you want or need to know about the seed vault. This parable about the seeds is a familiar one. You've probably heard it a dozen times or more, and Jesus helpfully provides the interpretation of the parable for us. What exactly is a parable? The word parable means to compare together or to use a story to illustrate a spiritual or moral subject by using everyday objects. Parables have been described as earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. Jesus' listeners were quite familiar with agricultural images, so that is what he often used to get his point across. He was always deliberately meeting the people where they were with imagery they could relate to. And we'll look at a couple of other agriculture-centric parables in the coming weeks. When the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them, to the other listeners who are not in his disciples' cadre." He said, whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, "You will ever be hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's hearts have become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it." Most of the time when we hear a parable, we examine every detail in it: the seeds, the sower, the bare path, the rocky path, the thorns, the good soil. You can probably find yourself in some of the symbols in the parables. Maybe at one time you were the seed that fell on rocky ground, or maybe you were, fortunately enough, the seed that grew on good soil and grew and grew and grew. You know, we are all called to go and sow. We're not absolutely responsible for where the seeds we scatter land or how or even if they will grow. We're just told to go and sow. God reassures us in Isaiah 55, 10 and 11, For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word, my seed, be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I propose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. So we just gotta go and sow, scatter the seed everywhere, even on the most unlikely places. You don't know which seeds will grow. We don't know which spot of ground is ripe and ready for planting, even if it looks to be quite the opposite. It's an act of faith to toss the seeds about with a little prayer that they will indeed take root and sprout and grow. When I think of this parable, I always picture Johnny Appleseed going around with a knapsack slung over his shoulder, tossing out seeds indiscriminately and liberally. That knapsack was kind of like a seed vault. But with this seed vault, we are not called to keep it safe and locked up forever. As Jesus explained, the seed is the word, so we must sow the word abroad, share it with all and sundry near and far. It's work, but it's not toilsome work. It's a joyful task. It's a hopeful task. We never know where the seed will grow. We can only hope and pray that some of the seed will land in a fertile place. So may we sow extravagantly. God will deal with the hardened, rocky, or thorny soil within and among and around us. The cares and woes and worries of this world are constantly threatening to choke out the seed of God's word and prevent it from setting down roots and growing. Those cares and woes and worries even try to distort and dismiss God's word. In times like we're in today, it's more essential than ever that we dip into our seed vault and find the courage, the strength, and assurance to keep going and sowing, planting and praying and staying the course. God says something's going to grow. All we got to do is sow. This parable invites action. Seeds don't plant themselves. We need to reach into our seed vault and trust God to show us where to sow. Jesus, in his explanation about the parable, doesn't call himself the sower who went forth to sow, but it is obvious that he is indeed the sower. And since we have been tasked with doing his work in this world, we are now the sowers. Does Jesus exaggerate when he says some of the seed grew 30 and 60 and 100 fold? I don't think so. He knows the potential of every single seed, and he's confident that whatever we sow will grow and grow and grow. May our faith match his. I'm really glad the seed vault in Svalbard is here for the world, just in case. Those seeds are important if any disaster or chaos should befall the globe. Yet the seed that is the word of God is even more important, and it cannot be kept in a vault. It is the seed that supersedes all chaos, this word of calmness and continuity and redemption and restoration that gives us endless hope. Just like the seeds in the seed vault, the word of God has remained viable for thousands of years, and no disaster can stop God's word from growing. Actually, on second thought, there is one vault where that seed that is the word needs safekeeping. Psalm 119:11 says, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." So plant the word into your heart. Become a seed vault for the word. We will never lose the word of God if we hide it in our hearts, so be sure to water it daily with prayer and Bible study. Learn Bible verses by heart so the fruitful word of God can sustain you and keep you going and sowing and growing. Don't seal it up in a vault. Let us pray. God, we know you want us to sow and help the gospel spread and grow. So send us forth into the places and spaces where your word will take root and produce an abundance of good fruit in your name and for your glory. And thus through us, the good news will go everywhere. Amen.